engagement on the progress that is expected to be made on previous agreements. And we expect that we will continue with that exercise until we are ready on its outcomes. If you are ready, you may proceed with the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would like to introduce the chief from the Compensation Fund. Next to me is the Commissioner, Sevuyo Mafata. And next to him is Matabele Matabaka from my office. And next to her is Mr. Headbush, who is the Chief Operations Officer of the Fund. And next to her is the newly appointed Chief Director from the box, Ms. Fakir. She deals with rehabilitation, orthotics, and labor activation. And next to her is Ms. Mildred Tubbs. She's the Chief Director responsible for the Quiet Services. And we have Advocate Mukashwa, who's the Head of Legal Services there, but he's also doubling as the Acting Chief Director of Corporate Services. And we have Mr. Johnny Modipa, who's the Chief Financial Officer of the Fund. And right at the end is Mr. Sam Murotoba, DDG Public Employment Services, and he's been acting as a DG in my absence. And I told him that as far as we are concerned, I'm not back. That's why he needs to be here. Okay. I'm here to assist him today. Yeah. And the gentleman sitting there with there is Mr. Tejane, who is the Chief Communications Officer of the department. And with
the spin doctor.
The spin doctor, yes.
Oh.
If we still have them. We have Mr. Nyekemba, who is the Parliamentary Liaison Officer of the department. I saw Mr. Schneemann here. I don't know if he's still around. The Chief of Staff in the Ministry and Advocate KT, I think he went out, the head of the office of the DG. Who else? I think am I leaving someone behind? Chair, I just want to give context to our presentation, just to remind honourable members, and also for the benefit of the new members that just joined the committee, where we come from with the compensation fund, to be where we are now.
Let me just give information that we don't have all the time. Mm-hmm. So there must be some sort of economics with time as well.
Yes.
We must not just go on and on and on. Yeah.
We're going to be very brief, Chair.
Yeah,
very brief. Chair and the honourable members, I was appointed as the DG on the 1st of December 2014. At the time, the compensation fund was experiencing serious service delivery challenge, and key to those was the fact that the fund was not processing claims, was not adjudicating and not paying benefits. And due to this challenge, the fund faced a series of court challenges, and that's why we have Advocate Mukashwa here, who has been assisting us to stave off companies who are taking us to court left and right. And the fund had weak financial management, internal controls had collapsed, and hence AG was unable to express an opinion on the finances of the fund, and that's why we've had disclaimers right through. Our assessment, Chair, revealed that the entity was not structured in line with its mandate. The core competences required to perform the core functions were non-existent at head office and in the at provinces. Obviously, action was needed to be taken to change the situation. What we did with the minister, we removed the entire top management of the fund, appointed a new commissioner, Mr. Vuyo Mafata, sitting right next to me, and with the commissioner, we redefined the business model of the entity, and we structured it into three businesses: COIT services, which deals with pension compensation and benefits, and medical services, which deal with medical benefits and medical advice to employers, and rehabilitation services, which deals with vocational rehabilitation, social rehabilitation, and clinical rehabilitation. A stakeholder management was virtually non-existent, and medical institutions did not want to treat compensation fund patients, and staff morale was at an all-time low, and fraud was rampant in the fund. To address all these challenges, Chair, we had to put this three-year plan, which we call Action Plan. And the Action Plan was intended to address the causes of the root causes of the challenges that are plaguing this organization. It is important to note that, Chairperson, our primary objective was to firstly stabilize the organization so that it could at least perform its core function, that of adjudicating and paying claims. The management team that I have introduced, Chair, is relatively new and has done well to bring that needed stability. We can now proudly say we can pay benefits, we adjudicate claims, especially new claims, we adjudicate them. The only issue that we're dealing with now, issues relating to legacy claims that were not transferred into the current system that we're using in the old system, and with limited information for us to process those claims. And that's why we went out and we asked people who had claims that were not processed by the fund to come forward so that we can assist them in closing those files. With those few words, Chair, I would like to say that this is a different compensation fund, and the action plan, the first action plan that we put together, has brought the stability that we spoke about. There's a need for the second action plan, and Mr. Mafata will then take us through that second installment of the action plan to address those things that we could not address when we implemented the first action plan. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think you can proceed. But as long as the issue that says it's a new team doesn't seek to protect them from taking accountability and responsibility for the activities that they are doing.
No, Chair.
Proceed.
The DG has provided the background to this particular action plan. So my presentation, I'll run quickly through it, but it will be presentation done in two parts. I think the first part is to provide progress on the action plan that we developed in 2015, which was aimed at stabilizing the operations of the fund, as highlighted by the DG. And then we'll then also briefly take the committee, and this will be the last report on that particular action plan. We'll then take the committee through the at a high level, the action plan, the second phase of the action plan, which now focuses on improving the service delivery and the control environment within the fund, now that we've stabilized the operations of the compensation fund, which will be the plan that we will then report on going forward. So the first phase of the action plan was divided into four pillars. We had financial administration, customer service, and focus and service delivery improvement, as well as the internal business process and administration, and lastly also people management. So those were the four pillars within which we had developed activities to stabilize the fund. If you go to the next slide just shows then the progress that we have made since 1 July 2015, when we started implementing the action plan. The funded and able to implement about 87% of all the activities that we had put in the action plan, with about 13 activities that had not been implemented, had not been finalized. Most of the activities were of a continuous nature with related to engagements with specific stakeholders, which is a continuous process that we always continue. There were only two activities, about three activities actually, that had not, that were specific, that needed to have been completed in a specific period, that had not been completed, that we are carrying over into the next action plan, which is the one on piloting the rehabilitation and return to work program once we develop the policy. The second one was to revise the employer assessment model, and the last one was the implementation of a case management system. So those three, we'll then carry them over, and others that are continuous, which relate to stakeholder engagement, is also carrying them through because we want to continue doing stakeholder engagement. So we implemented those as highlighted in the presentation. Chairperson, on financial management, it just shows all the activities that we then finalized. You see that there's about four that had not been finalized at the end of April 2018, which was the revised employer assessment model. We have developed the assessment model, which seeks then to reduce the current 102 different premiums that are paid by employers into about six premiums. This is one of the things that we want to do to address the issues, the control weaknesses that have been identified by the AG within our revenue management space. We actually had the document finalized. Actuarial work was done on the revised assessment model. It has been approved by the Compensation Fund Board for us to send the draft regulation to the minister so that we can publish it for public comment, and then we can implement. We hope to have this process finalized by end of September so that employers can align themselves as well and get ready for it, and also to get the systems of the fund ready so that we can then implement it from the 1st of April 2019. So we are on course to deal with that. The loading and reduction and assessment of tariffs, also this is an ongoing process. We have actually finalized the way that we need to do it. We had control weaknesses in a sense that this was something that was subjective and was dependent on an official giving an employer either a reduction or a loading on their assessment tariffs depending on the risk profile of the organization. This is a process that was filled with fraud and corruption and so on, so we sought to remove human intervention with regard to dealing with this. So we have found an actuarial solution that we implementing going forward. And also the other issues was around the clearing the reconciliation items as well as the prior year open vouchers where that are still in progress to be finalized. The next slide, it just talks about some of the achievements that we've made, some of them which we spoke about previously in the committee. We're able to implement all the employer discounts. About 211 million was paid to employers, which is something that the fund had been failing to do for about 3 to 4 years that they had promised these discounts. We also, some of the interventions that we put together around the debt management process, we're able to then correct the interest and penalty module within the fund so that we make sure that we charge the correct penalties and interest to employers. There were some errors that had been made in the past with this erroneous module that was implemented by the fund. We were able to deal with that, and as a result, to date we have actually charged about 108 million rands in penalties and 112 million rands in interest. And also we've been able to then have a correct impairment process for the fund for the year that just ended. We've actually impaired about 485 million rands of debt. With the inaccurate debt book that we had previously, we could not do this thing, and these were highlighted as some of the things that the AG had raised in the fund. We've also then made sure that we correct what was incorrectly calculated over the years, which amounted to about 2.4 billion. That went through our books in the last financial year. So now we have cleaned up our debt book with regards to the interest and penalty issues. The next slide, we've also resolved some of the governance issues, the policies that are now in place. We've dealt with the issues around the suspense accounts. We had owed employers about 67 million rands worth of merit rebates that had not been paid to employers. We were able to deal with that. About 10,000 employers benefited from this, and they got rebates paid out worth about 67 million to them. We were able to, the DGs mentioned that we were not paying benefits and so on, that we were able to make sure that we stabilize the ICT environment around the payment of benefits, and this has, we basically migrated all our payments to our core platform, which is SAP, and since we migrated to SAP in May 2017, we've paid about 3.4 billion in benefits that have gone through the new payment system that we developed on SAP. We also have built capacity in the financial management unit. Digi spoke about the fact that we had poor management of finances in the fund. We've actually brought in the much needed capacity in the fund to make sure that we're able to do that. On customer service, we implemented all the, this was the burning point in the fund, because the Digi indicated that clients were taking us to court. We were in the media for all the wrong reasons. All the activities that we actually had planned in the customer service and delivery improvement, these were implemented. In the next slide, one of the things was the supply of chronic medication, which we then appointed a service provider that now makes sure that all our clients, we have about 31,000 pensioners on our books, and some of those are on chronic medication resulting from the occupational injuries or diseases that they qualified for claims for, and we have a total of about 600 of those that are on chronic medication. They are now on a program where we now deliver medication to them. Previously they would have challenges with pharmacists not wanting to accept scripts that are funded by the compensation fund. So now we have a service provider that makes sure that every month the clients get their medication delivered to at their doorsteps. We hope then to increase this to all forms of medication that we provide to our clients, even if it's not chronic medication, in the next phase of this project. We also improved our engagement with hospitals and the health associations to reach out to all the key stakeholders that deal with our clients. And this has seen a tremendous improvement in our relations with these particular stakeholders. And also our processes around the processing and payment of invoices has improved with the improved communication that we've had. For example, in the last financial year alone, we've paid about 734 million to hospitals that treated our clients. We also developed the rehabilitation and return to work policy as part of the activity to have a program. The only thing that we couldn't do, for example, was to then start a pilot process to implement this rehabilitation and return to work, which is something that we are now busy with. We've established, as the DG introduced Ms. Fakir, we've established a rehabilitation unit that is going to focus on these issues in the fund. The third pillar was on internal business processes and administration. We were able to implement a majority of all the activities around here. Some that we could not implement, as I said, those were of a continuous nature that we continuously dealing with issues around claims, eradicating backlogs. The DG spoke about the claims where you have inadequate and incomplete information, where we then need to reach out to clients to get the information so that we can be able to process some of these claims. Continuous training and reskilling and multi-skilling of our team, now that we've decentralized our services to the provinces, those are some of the things that were continuous and in progress. I mentioned that we could also, the issue of hospital case management, we wanted to introduce a full-on case management process in the fund. We have now implemented that at a limited scale using the existing resources, but we're hoping then to ramp up and upscale this in the coming year. One of the big achievements has been the restructuring of the compensation fund. The DG mentioned the issue, the point earlier, creation of these three core divisions that focus on us, on delivering service. We've been able to make sure that we fill province the critical skills in the provinces. When we did a skills audit in 2015, it highlighted some of the critical skills that we needed that the fund did not have. Medical health professionals were one of those skills that was indicated as critical in the fund, but was not there. We've been able to make sure that we then fill every province now of the, where we have a medical doctor heading the service, the operations of the compensation fund. We've appointed occupational therapists that service disability managers that then work with clients that are injured that require prosthetic or orthotic devices or services. We have medical case coordinators, which are registered professional nurses, as well as medical case workers that also focus on these. We also did some assurance. There were complaints around the system that we had implemented at the time. We did some quality assurance, a review on the system, found some of the inefficiencies and the deficiencies that are in the system. We are now in the process of implementing a SAP system that will then help us to address all these deficiencies that we identified in the fund. We have also implemented a case management system, which enables us to now manage our litigation cases and also make sure that we manage the court roll. In terms of the compensation legislation, a client who's not happy with the outcome of a claim, that client can submit a Section 91 objection, which would then have to be heard in a tribunal hearing. We were managing this process manually in terms of enrolling the cases on the register and also managing the process to make sure that the hearings do take place. We've now implemented a case management system on SEP that then helps us to manage this process and make sure that no cases fall through the cracks, and we can actually monitor cases because we've now decentralized this function also to the provinces because we've appointed legal personnel in the provinces to manage this particular aspect. We launched the system in November 2017. We also implemented various fraud prevention measures to try and deal with issues of fraud that we experience not only from internal staff but also from external parties that prey on medical aid, and the compensation fund is no different to other medical aids in terms of some of the fraud that we get from external parties. In the next slide, the last pillar was on people management, where we had the DG spoke about the morale of the staff that was at an all-time low when he took over. And we devised some of the things that we needed to do to make sure that we can then address the issues around staff morale, which was largely due to unhappiness over the decentralization process that had happened, and also the fact that the fund wasn't performing, which had an impact on the morale of staff. We were able to implement all the projects that we had identified in this particular pillar. And the education and training, which is the development of staff out of the skills audit that we did, that's a continuous process that we're doing. We have a lot of staff that are now going through training to address some of the critical skills shortages that were identified in the skills audit. I mentioned the issue of the skills audit. It highlighted what are those services that or key skills that we require in the fund that we don't have, and we have been able to then fill these critical skills. For example, we have Ms. Fakir, who has the rehabilitation, is an occupational therapist, and we have Ms. Reuters, who's a occupational health specialist heading the COID services, and Mr. Headbush, who's a chartered accountant, also heading the operations of the of the fund. DG spoke about advocate, who is an admitted high advocate of the High Court. We also we then looked at restructuring the fund as highlighted by the DG. We have now this particular key core business units that have now specialist skills to deal with each of the issues within the fund. So, Chairperson, if I can go to the next presentation, which is the action plan phase two. Now, this phase two action plan, now that we've stabilized, as I said, we now want to enhance the control environment in the fund and ensure that we then deliver according to our mandate as the DG indicated. If you go to the next slide. Now, the objectives of the second phase of the action plan, we have one, to improve the systems of internal control within the fund, two, to improve the poor service delivery to all our stakeholders, address the organizational performance that of the fund. Members would recall that when we presented the annual performance of the fund last year, we had achieved about 50% of the performance targets that we set for the 2016-17 financial year. And for the year that just ended, that is under audit, we've basically implemented, we've achieved about 67% of our APP, so we also need to address the organizational performance, eliminate occurrences of fraud and corruption, and also develop the capacity of the fund to deliver on its mandate. The action plan focuses has new four pillars that we hope to address. One is the financial management and governance. The second pillar is service delivery and performance improvement. We also then also anti-corruption and integrity management. We've uplifted anti-corruption and integrity management as a key pillar because of the as the fund goes into plays in the cyberspace in terms of providing online services, we're now exposed to all potential fraudulent contact from external parties. We also then the last pillar is organizational culture renewal and capacity building. Common in this action plan with the previous action plan, we still have service delivery issues, we still have financial management issues, we still have people management issues. In the next slide, Chair, just the different milestones that we hope to. We started implementing this particular phase two action plan in May 2018, and there are some milestones that we hope to achieve. In the medium term is to reduce, for example, on financial governance, is to reduce the number of audit matters affecting the audit report. In the last year, we had about 23 matters that affected the audit report. In the current financial year, with all the things that we've put in place, most of which will be realizable towards the end of 2019 and 2020, in the medium term, we want to reduce the numbers, the matters affecting the audit report. We want to be able to define the service standards that everyone in the organization needs to adhere to, and have a proper framework and structure for ethics, fraud, and corruption in the fund. And then also the full implementation of the reviewed organizational structure of the fund. And in the outer years, there are also other outcomes as outlined in the slide there. We hope then to have everything that is in this particular action plan completed by July 2021. A lot of the issues that we need to deal with here are major projects that would require substantial system enhancement, system development, as well as dealing with the business processes within the fund. That's why we've given ourselves this three-year period to be able to deal with this particular action plan. In the next slide, the action plan then comprises of about 191 action steps out of about 67 outputs that we've identified. 14 are for financial management and governance, 31 in the service delivery improvement and performance improvement, 10 in the anti-corruption and integrity management, as well as about 11 in the organizational culture renewal and capacity building. The financial administration and governance, the first pillar, it's activities that are aimed at addressing all the control weaknesses.
Just hold on there. I think you have given us the framework of the next action plan. I just wanted to check with the members, because you had an action plan that was supposed to be implemented, and then you needed a progress report on it. You have been given the progress report. Now, what we are hearing is the future-related issues. I just want to check, do you want to engage with the report on the action plan that you are implementing and complete it and have now the new, or can we have both of them now right up to the end, then, so that when you engage the progress report already, you have got a view of what is coming? Proceed. Okay. Proceed in earnest.
Thank you, Chairperson. So here we aimed at addressing all the control weaknesses and they identified through our risk assessments from the internal audit work that has been done in the fund, as well as what the Auditor General has identified. What is key in this action plan is that we've now been able to combine the service delivery action plan as well as the audit action plan into one action plan that would then management would be able to monitor going forward. The output that we have here, for example, is improvement of financial management and performance reporting, implementing the revised assessment model, improving the process, the management of the audits themselves, debt collection, making sure that the accounting processes and revenue that have been highlighted by the AG, the controls and accuracy of our accounts payable, compliance to legislation by employers, and improving systems for debt collection and dealing with all the ICT issues in terms of integrating our claims and our finance management system, as well as increasing the awareness and knowledge of some of the accounting standards. The skills audit project highlighted that the fund for an organization that requires a lot of financial skills, we had a high number of personnel who were qualified in social services and administration, whereas we need a lot of financial skills. So we're looking at programs how we can then improve the knowledge and awareness of accounting standards and so on within the existing staff as we recruit those that are sufficiently qualified. And in order to achieve this, in the next slide, we've a number of action steps have been that we are going to implement. We saw that is about 14 of them at a high level. We looking at developing standard operating procedures or processes to make sure that the records of the fund are easily manageable and retrievable. One of the issues that has been raised by the AG is the inability to obtain sufficient information in order to audit and give an opinion on the financial performance of the organization. We also looking at improving controls within our general ledger activities and improving the accuracy for both our accounts payable and our accounts receivable modules. In the next slide also we're looking at a number of things where we need to improve our debt collection. Currently our debt collection is limited to internal staff doing follow-ups and so on, but we don't have a legal process in terms of making sure that we then follow up with the employer that have been assessed but have not paid. And we know that the state attorney doesn't have capacity to do so we actually looking at a model where we can then, like similar organizations like the SABC and so on that are using then the external services of a legal firm to make sure that we can collect on debts that are due and payable to the compensation fund. We're looking at processes to improve how we can deal with our return of earnings. We recently introduced an online system for submission of return of earnings and registration of employers online. We now want to make sure that we then address the accounting issues now that the service delivery issue of accessibility has been addressed. We now deal with some of the accounting issues that have been raised by the AG in terms of how we then account for this information that we get through the ROE. The next, if I just skip to the next pillar, service delivery and performance improvement. This pillar comprises activities that are aimed at addressing service delivery challenges that are experienced by the fund. And here we've divided this pillar into about three subsections. One, dealing with customer care issues, making sure that our call center is responsive to customer issues, as well as making sure that even our client facing operations, officials in those operations are then become customer-centric in the way that we've designed our processes, that we design our processes and the way that we provide the service to clients. Employer services is also one of the sections which exclusively focuses on dealing with employer-facing issues around registration, payment of assessments, and submission of return of earnings. And then we then deal with compensation, medical and rehabilitation all in one unit. This particular pillar will deliver on about five outputs: improved access to CF services, improving client stakeholder relations, and also adopting technology for improved customer service, improving staff morale within this particular in the fund too, so that, because that tends to have a positive impact also on service delivery when the morale is high, and also then improving capacity of our call center to be able to deal with client issues. In order to achieve some of these steps, one of the things that we've set out to do, complaints have been around that the people call the call center and they don't get assistance, or if on the spot, there are things have to then be referred to back office where it would take a number of days before their queries can be attended to. And we say most of the things that clients call about are common issues. So one of the things that we are going to develop in this action plan is a database of frequently asked questions, which we would then automate in the call center system, so that when people call, then a call center agent can actually look at what are the common responses to similar queries that clients get. We also, within our call center unit, with the restructuring, we've actually created a service delivery improvement subdirectorate there. And we hope that to then assign key accounts managers within this directory to then deal with all our big employer associations, the employee associations, as well as the medical service providers, the key, so that we can be able to improve the communication. Because a lot of the delays that are around claims is also because of the gaps in communication between ourselves and the key stakeholders in terms of what information we need when a claim is submitted. And also how the claim must be submitted and so on. We end up spending time addressing those issues as opposed to just receiving claim and processing it same time. We also want to develop a CRM tool for the fund, which the call center would then use, where we can then house these frequently asked questions, and we can be able to monitor and know which client called when, who assisted the client, and what was the resolution that the client wanted, so that when the client phones back, we're able to then retrieve the information in terms of what is it was the query that the client has dealt with and who helped the client, so that we can make it easier for the client to get the savings. We, as part of the things that we issue of appreciation of our staff, as part and parcel of improving the staff morale, we want to have service excellence awards, borrowing from what the department is already doing in terms of recognizing the service excellence within some of the units within the department of labor. We're also looking at developing a knowledge management strategy and policy for the fund. A lot of the what the compensation funds do is sitting in the heads of a lot of people that have accumulated years of experience. And in this complex environment that we have in the compensation fund, it's important that we have a knowledge management strategy so that as we improve, as we bring in new people in the organization, they're able to then learn and get some kind of knowledge from the existing experiences of the staff that have been here for years. This would help us to deal with capacity issues. We also looking at implementing service standards. We in the process of procuring mobile facilities for us to be able to access clients. We have mobile clinics as well as mobile labor centers, so that we can then take services closer to some of our clients, because you know, some of our clients get injured in the urban area and then they go back to the rural areas as well and so on when they're no longer working. So we need to be able to access those clients easier, make sure that they can be able to access our services much easier. The public employment services has already started with the rolling out the kiosks in the different labor centers. We partnered with them to make sure that we then roll out in some of the labor centers where these have not been rolled out, because our services have now become online. Both clients, both employees and employers can now engage with the fund online without necessarily having to go to a labor center. In the next slide, we have the service delivery and performance, which we in here we hope to make sure that we achieve the following. Within the employer services, we want to develop business processes and procedures for employer services, improve compliance, enrich data that we have of employers so that we can address some of these issues that have been highlighted by the AG, automated employer services functions so that we remove the manual interventions that cause delays and bottlenecks in the process, enhancing the capacity of the ICT infrastructure to be able to handle a lot of these online services that we bring into employers, fully implementing the CF filing, the second phase of the CF filing, which is the online registration system that we recently introduced. And Jeffers, in the next slide, we just highlight some of those things that we then hope to do from a system point of view within employer services to improve the way that employers interact with us. Key there is the C filing, the phase two of the C filing project. Chairperson, one of the things that has been highlighted in the ease of doing business report was the number of days it takes to register employers in the compensation fund, which was which was the highest in terms of number of days when compared to all the entities of government that deal with employers. We've now been able to implement the CF filing system, which has moved a registration process which normally took on average about 90 days to get a registration done from an employer. This can now happen in 20 minutes with the employer doing it themselves without having to come to the compensation fund. We've also employed a lot of payroll auditors. We partnered with the inspection and enforcement services of the department to create positions of payroll auditors that will then help do enforcement of COID legislation to employers. In the compensation and benefit space, there's a number of things that we've outputs that we've identified: business processes, the implementing the return to work policy, implementing the post-traumatic stress disorder policy to be able to deal with these cases. I mentioned that we have 31,000 pensioners, implementing the database for these pensioners, updating the medical tariffs, and dealing with all the outstanding claims, and improving the capacity of the units that are dealing with us. So there's a number of things that we hope to do. Some of those are control issues around how we deal with intermediaries of our medical service providers, the introducing regulations that can then become enforceable, especially with regard to how we want clients to deal with, to interact with us. We're also going to implement the claims management system on SAP, which would see us migrating away from Umehluko into a fully integrated system within the fund. We also want to develop a training program that we hope to partner with the Institution of Higher Learning so that our staff can then be trained on specific COID legislation-related issues and how claims can be processed due to the complex nature of the way that we assess and deal with injury claims. In the next pillar, the third pillar, which is the anti-corruption and integrity management, here we have comprises of the activities that are aimed at addressing control weaknesses in the fund and dealing with the behavioral attitude that leads to fraud and corruption in the fund. Here the pillar will deliver on this output: maintaining an ethical culture, effective management of the conflict of interest, early detection of fraud and corruption, the effective management of our supplier database, training and fraud awareness, improving the and managing the stakeholder relations with financial institutions and also have effective management of conflict of interest, as I highlighted. Now, in order to achieve this, there's a number of things that we have planned. Key are the establishment of an ethics office and the appointment of an ethics officer. That is a process that is already in the department. We now want to have those decentralized to the compensation fund so that we can effectively deal with these issues. We've already created an ethics unit within the compensation fund in our revised structure. We hope to benchmark some of the anti-fraud and corruption practices with other players in the same industry that we're playing in, improving our relations with the key institutions like SABRIC and FIC, because we find that in most of the cases where fraud happens, there's flow of money that happens, so we need to make sure that we partner with key institutions so that we can stem this practice of looting and stealing of the funds money by third parties who submit fraudulent claims. So the last pillar is on organizational culture renewal and capacity building. So there's a number of things that we've identified here that we hope to deliver in terms of the output. We need to make sure that the structure is fully implemented. We maintain as low as possible a vacancy rate and make sure that in order to address some of the skills gaps that we picked up in the skills audit of the first phase of the action plan, we review the job profiles and document a lot of the business processes and procedures that we have in the fund as part of the knowledge management improvement processes of the fund, dealing with the organizational culture, improving the organizational culture, improving records management. We also want to improve the way that we train our staff in terms of those that join the fund. We want to implement an online training portal so that any person who joins the compensation fund, before they even touch any claim, they then go through some kind of an online training process. Once they pass that online training, then they can be able to start dealing with the with the claim, which is something that's similar to what is happening in most of the financial services companies in the private sector in terms of the training that they provide to their staff. Key among these things, some of the action steps, we want to establish the accountant training office. We last year had approval from the South African Institute of Chartered Accountants for the compensation fund to become a training office so that we can then also have benefit from the skills while the accountants are in training. We're then able to benefit from some of those skills as opposed to having to rely on consultants sometimes for some of the scarce skills that the fund is not able to attract. And we also, to address the skills audit issues, developing a management minimum qualification criteria for the fund to make sure that everyone then attracts when we do recruitment and selection, everyone is on board with what are the skills that we need in the organization. Some of the things that we're going to be doing to improve the employee morale is the issue of coaching and mentorship. So we're also looking at formalizing the coaching and mentorship program that we can then implement to make sure that those that have been identified in the skills audit as those that require skills and have applied for bursaries, they at least have got some mentors to be able to help them work through some of the qualifications that they hope to get to. Chairperson, I'll end my presentation there. The next slide is just the at a high level, the performance of the fund in terms of the number of claims that we've processed over the last few years and how we have improved the benefits, payment of benefits in the organization. You see that we've paid about 144,000, we registered about 144,000 claims in the last financial year alone, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
The figures that are on that table, are they in thousands, in millions, in billions?
It's billions.
It's billions.
So those are full figures, Chair. It's full figures. For example, on medical, you'll have in some of if some of them is 100 million, others it's 2
okay.
billion and so on. So it's a full figures, Chair.
Okay. All right. DG.
Chair, the last point for me is that the committee members might have noted that the commissioner kept on saying we hope that we're going to do this. I just want to correct that. We don't hope that we're going to do this. We're going to do these things. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. There we are, honourable members. And you may assist yourself if you categorize the engagement into that report that completes the action plan that you have engaged with before, and also with this new action plan that is coming. You will assist yourselves if you just address yourself to those two categories so that they don't confuse us. Honorable Ameri.
Thank you, Chair. They call it like a validity test, and if you like a person who becomes, of course, as very affable and likable, you tend not to ask very probing and serious questions for him. And both Mr. Mathata and Mr. De Bile, Lamati, falls into that category. So therefore, my engagement will be simply just a comment. When we started out at the beginning of this term, when we dealt with an entity that was literally on its knees, it was in ICU, and both the minister and the director general had to drastically implement measures to get this patient out of ICU and at least into general ward. And I think as the years gone by and with Mr. Lamarty's appointment, that we have noticed the regeneration and resuscitation of the sick patient, and this largely to deal with putting the right people in the right positions that were able to effect difficult decisions, because this is a very difficult department to manage, because the systems that have existed in the past could so easily facilitate corruption and maladministration and wasteful expenditure. And from our side, we have we can bear testimony that since the implementation of this Rechlet plan, there has steady progress was achieved by the department by regularly accounting to this particular committee. And although everything is not perfect yet, will never be, the proof is in the pudding, of course, and when we get the AG's report, it will corroborate the outcomes that have been achieved in phase one. We await that sort of report with keenness at the end of the financial year. But from our side, Mr. Mafati and Mr. Lamarty, we hope that this phase two will consolidate what has been achieved, because it is from where we were and where we are now, chalk and cheese, and we're pleased that we also always assess, as a party, we assess the effectiveness of a particular department in terms of the queries we get from the public. And we have noticed that, there's a marked decrease in queries from the public in terms of the engagement with the department, and we're very pleased with that. Thank you.
Honourable from Scarborough.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's a bit difficult for me to speak now. I don't want to be a prophet of doom or Mr. Mafati must realize we really love you, but yeah, there's some things that we need to highlight once more. But Chairperson, I think it's safe to say that we need to commend the efforts that were made and plans that were put in place, as well as the necessary additions to the staff to try and really give effect to this action plan. And when I scrutinize the last two presentations, the one that we've received on the 13th of November, and then the next one on the 21st of February this year, and I compare it to this latest version, there's not much change in the presentation. Specifically, when we look, for instance, in terms of the 211 million rand in terms of the discounts paid to employers ending at March 2016, for instance, it was the same figure that you presented in February to us. Then the same figure in terms of the interest of 112 million that was charged at the 31st of January 2018, and then in terms of the 2.4 billion rand of incorrectly calculated interest corrected resulting in improved debtors book, it's the same amount that we are talking about. When going to the processing of claims, for instance, we see now that amount that they are mentioning there, and it's not saying how many claims does this amount represent when I compare it to the previous years. So if I can have clarification in terms of that one also. So it's safe to say, Chairperson, that whilst we haven't received yet the AG report, I think we will be better placed in terms of doing a better analysis and comparison in terms of the performance of this action plan when we look, for instance, at the number of findings that they receive now from the AG. And I think taking all those that I said into consideration, I think it's safe to say that indeed it seems as if when we look at the performance of 86% at the end of October 2017 and then 87% reporting in February, and it's still 87% reporting now in June, it's safe to say that indeed we commend the compensation fund for being proactive in saying that we need a phase two of this action plan to focus in depth on other issues more. And I really want to commend them, but just to highlight those key things and for instance to ask them to give us an update if there are latest figures available in terms of those figures that I've mentioned. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mutambi.
Thank you, Chair. I'm looking on slide 12, slide number 23, page 12, and slide number 23. I see there's a number of planned action steps, 191 number. I'm much comfortable as I've gone through the plan itself. I don't see the exact time frame. Maybe the bigger document, because I presume this is a presentation. That's the issue that we should be able to look at and monitor that. As a committee chairperson, in view of this turnaround strategy. Taking on what my other colleagues have said, to say this is good, but I should think then in that timeline are very critical for us to be able to monitor and evaluate the progress. And then these steps, I think some of them can be consolidated. Because if they are the numbers, to me they are so too much. I mean, 191 action plans, I really don't know, but maybe it was to the extent of the problem that was there, but really we should be realistic at times to deal with the issues. Because certain things you might find that they talk to each other. But my emphasis here, the timeline and the time frame that we should be able to monitor and evaluate. Otherwise, on the face value, the other issue then that I feel is very key, then the brand reputation management again. Yes, you've rebranded. There are good things on paper as you put it here to say this is what you are doing, and then how do you build then the confidence to your stakeholder? I think a robust outreach program will assist a great deal, so that to indeed tell the people to say indeed we'll turn around. I think then I don't see it fully coming through to say. I think the outreach program becomes very critical, because remember you are dealing with the most vulnerable people that are affected. I think your stakeholder engagement and outreach program, I don't see it in the entire plan, even if it's there, but it's not that concrete to say. And then if it can be a plan with timeline, time frames, what is happening, when, some of us now we are on research, we can assist you with those outreach programs too, then reposition the fund. That's my input, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I think on that score, you do have me here who's also worried. The report, because what I've understood from the DG is that we're having a failing entity. And now we have gone through the first action plan. Now, this first action plan, because it's coming to an end now, how many has this action plan taken to court and taken to jail? This first action plan that we are concluding, how many people has this action plan taken to jail or taken to court? Because surely you will not have the entity failing if there are no malpractices and all sorts of things there. And then the other one is issues of vetting. Are we having any positions that requires vetting for people to be in there? If they are there, which positions? If they are not there, what mechanisms do you have to ensure that you have got the right people with the right integrity and ethical conduct to be able to occupy certain positions? Then just simply to add to Honorable Mutambi's point is that we have got a lot of pointers that we need to follow. And then will you be able to produce a monitoring tool? Not a complicated tool, you know, this particular aspect is done, it's not done, whatever. A tool that it is easily manageable, because what we have produced here as the second action plan, one can agree with Honorable Mutambi, is going to be a complicated one. It's really going to be a complicated one unless you refine it into distinct categories, whether it is, like I have said, related matters, being a group B, group C, group D, and that you are able, so that you produce it as a tool that is easy to, you can email it to the secretary, then to members, then they can easily see, here we are moving. Here we are not moving, so that it doesn't become a lengthy, complicated tool that you communicate to us. I'm sure you can proceed if you have got the responses to the questions that have been raised by the honourable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we appreciate Honorable America's good and kind words and Honorable von Skydweg. The questions by Honorable von Skydweg in terms of the numbers that have become static since the last time we reported. These activities, for example, the issue of the discounts, there was a specific amount that had been due to employers for 4 years. The fund was not paying out to employers. In 2012, the fund had, as a drive to improve compliance by employers, had requested employers, had said that those that would submit their return of earnings, and they would submit their return of earnings by the 30th of April, they would qualify for discounts on their assessment rate. So employers submitted, and that was promised, but the fund had no functionality in the system whatsoever to be able to calculate the discount and formulate it and pay it out to employers. So that was left for like 4 years without it being... So what we did was then we then developed the tool on our system, and then it, we were able to then quantify how much those discounts were, which was 211 million. And that 211 million was then paid out to the employers. The employers had the option of either receiving the cash or receiving a credit for the following year's assessment. Most of employers then opted for the credits for the following year's assessment. So we then did that. Interest and penalties. The also figure would have remained static between December and now, because the payment of assessments in the compensation fund is a once-off activity in the year. It, unlike other entities where they would receive money every month. With us, an employer is required on the 1st of April to submit the return of earnings, which would comprise their projected salaries that they're going to pay in the next year and the actual that they paid in the last year. And we then net off this based on what they paid last year, and then the difference gets paid in the current financial year. So all those payments would happen between the 1st of April when we open the ROE season until the 31st of May when the ROE season closes. You then have residual ones that would come in June, July, August, September, and so on. Then those are the ones that are deemed to be late. And those are the ones where we then calculate interest and penalty on those. By December, a lot of those employers would then have, they would have then received all the ROEs, would have been able to calculate what the interest and the penalties, and then we pay them. So we're not going to have an interest and penalty that is going to happen every month, or the revenue that we get every month. The 2.4 billion debt, this was related to the inaccurate debt book that we had at the beginning of the action plan period. So the project that I spoke about, where we then had to switch off the faulty debtors module that was incorrectly calculating interest and penalty, do enhancements on that module, and once that was done, we were then able to deploy it back into our system. We then wanted it to be able to calculate how much was the incorrect interest that was then calculated and levied to employers over the years. So it came out to this 2.4 billion. So what we then did, because we had already calculated and counted this 2.4 billion as part of our revenue, we then had to then write it off on our books. So that's what the 2.4 billion is. If members would recall, when we presented our annual financial statement, we had a big write-off figure of 2.4 billion on our financials. So that's what that amount is. So also that's a static amount that was a once-off exercise that it's not going to happen. We apologize for the 2018-19. In fact, what we reported was the April and May of this year, because that's when we prepared the report. We did not quantify. We did not include in the report how much has been for those two months. We'll make sure that we update that information the next time we report. And 87% still the same since the year. And I think, as I indicated, a lot of the activities that we had not fully implemented were the ones that were ongoing nature and long term. So progress has not, in as much as we're making progress, but it was not impactful progress that we can then report and say we've actually been able to do this. But there are processes. That's why we've included all those things in the current action plan. The Honorable Mutambi, the questions that you raised, 191, and what are the time frames? Now, a lot of these activities are activities that we will be able to run concurrently. We do have a detailed Word version report that is detailed than the presentation. We will ask Matapel to then just give it to the secretariat. So that would have the time frames, who's responsible for doing those, and so on. And these are activities that we hope that we intend to implement over a 3-year period. Some of them have due dates of next year and the year before, as well as 2021. So we are confident that we will be able to deal with all these activities, and there are time frames for it. In terms of how many people have we taken to to jail or to court. But there's a, this is an ongoing process, and we have a number of cases that, for example, where we've concluded investigations if it was a fraudulent matter, and some of those are before the courts. We've seen reports of some doctors that have been sent to jail, some health professionals that have been sent to jail, and we have a number of cases that are also been reported with the South African Police Service and the some of them are before the courts now. So we did not prepare the numbers in terms of what is that. What we can do is when we do the presentation next time, we'll then also talk about some of the these cases and how far we are in dealing with them. The vetting. Now, there are key positions where vetting is required by in terms of the prescripts. Your finance, supply chain, senior management of the organization, those that require vetting. But what we've done as part of the first action plan, we had actually intended to vet all officials of the compensation fund, particularly those that are working in the risky environment like claims and so on. So we are working with the securities division of the department to make sure that we then start. We know the capacity constraints that are the state security agents in terms of doing the vetting and so on, but we hope to then subject a lot of the our staff members to go through the vetting process. In the action plan now here, we also want to now start vetting even the intermediaries that submit claims information on behalf of clients before we can even accept any claim from them, because we have a lot of medical service providers, for example, that submit invoices through a switching house, and some of these switching houses are not vetted and so on. So we want to be able to do those things before we can even approve that a switching house can submit a claim on behalf of a claimant. We have developed a monitoring tool that what we've done with the first action plan, for example, the action plan was a standing agenda item on the exco of the fund, where we compile the progress reports at the end of the month, and then the respective heads of the units that are part of exco will then report on the progress. We interrogate it before we can finalize the report, and we can take it to the different governance structures for presentation and for noting. What we've done with this action plan, because of the volume of the action plan as well, and also the fact that now we are, this should be the last action plan in terms of getting the operations of the fund to the level required, we've actually now taken it out of EXCO. We've established a steering committee which comprises of the members of the EXCO plus the divisional heads that are reporting to them. It's an EXCO that takes place once a month, the first Friday of the month. That's the time when we would have compiled this tool that we've developed. We would have then populated the progress that has been made in dealing with all the activities. We then measure the progress in terms of the percentage of activities concerned to a specific output that has been completed and done. That's how we measure the whether it's the red, amber, or green in terms of the activities having been completed. Where we then compile this report. It gets discussed at the steering committee that happens once a month. And once we've endorsed it and we've interrogated and there's information that may need to be required, that may need to be inputted by the different divisional heads, we then take it back so that they can input on this and provide the information. Once the document is finalized, we're then in a position to take it to the relevant governance structures, and also when we request it to come and present it here, we then come and present it at the fund. We already have had our first meeting, as I said, we presented. We started implementing action plan phase 2 in May. We already had our first meeting in June, and the next meeting will then be the first Friday of July when we look at the progress that has been made since April and June 2018. So we can share the tool that we have developed for monitoring. We'll also give it to Matapelo to share with which secretary of the committee.
Are you done? Mm-hmm. Probably the DG has it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have anything?
just to say, Chair, we've taken the point raised by Honourable Mutambi with regards to the brand management and the robust outreach program that we need. Something that we've spoken about ourselves, that we seldom very shy in telling our good stories, and we need to change that so that we people can be aware of the good work that the department is doing. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. And I think there is only that one issue about the fraud issues, fraud cases. It will not wait for another reporting date. And when you get back to your offices between 7 and 10 days and then produce that little two-page or three-pager to the secretary, it should include the name of the person. That's the short one line about what was his problem and the date on which it was taken to court or reported to any other security agency. And that's it. Don't get locked into other things. And then I think then it would actually show us that while you are cleaning, you are not producing other problems behind you. Because if you are cleaning and then you are also showing seriousness about certain ill behavior, then you can expect a clean institution later. But if you are not, then as you are cleaning, then you are producing others again at the back, and then we'll keep on just going back and forth. You said the lady is a new head in the block. If you are given 5 seconds to speak in this committee, what can you say? Press the button.
Your work.
What I can say is that currently rehabilitation is happening to our clients, but I think what the Commissioner and DG are definitely driving, and which I can see, is that the fund has to have, like I said, with the branding, a more proactive approach in encouraging return to work and encouraging employers to actually take employees back to work after sustaining injuries. And that's definitely the driving force out there. And we've already started looking at the initial phases of piloting the rehabilitation and the return to work programs. We are in phase one, and hopefully we will successfully do it in 2018, 2019 financial year.
No, thank you. You'll press that button many times. Every day that you find yourselves in here, be prepared to speak, because you may be called upon to speak. Thank you, honorable members. I think we're not having any follow-up questions, because you look to be more happier. And let's wait for that first time of reporting on the second phase of the action plan, or the second action plan, whatever it is called. Let's await from there. But I mean, it's the energy with which you are reporting, Chief, and the clarity must be translated to actions in the institution, in that institution. That clarity, we should see it on performance of the institution, because I'm very happy that you seem or you look to be clear about what needs to happen. Then the rest must reproduce that clarity in that institution. And then if you are doing that, the Auditor General then will confirm or refuse and disappoint or appraise you. Now, thank you very much, DG, with the team, and we hope that we will be together in this crime of turning around that institution. Honorable members, then can we prepare ourselves for the shortest briefing on our own draft report, and then we can thank the department if there are the good intention of leaving. But at least there must be one official of the department when we deal with our own draft report, so that if there are issues that need the department, then there must be somebody to lift them up. But those that may be having some time pressures, they should be relieved. Thank you very much. Secretary, can you get somebody to prepare for, to be ready to deal with the draft report? Let's give ourselves maybe 2 minutes, but it should not be 10 minutes like before. Two minutes.
Yes. Oh, okay. I just want to. Okay. Yes. All right.